It's time for the Power Hour of Love, starring Charboil and
El Bandito. Welcome to the fiesta.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Power Hour of Love, starring Charboil and
El Bandito.
Hey El Bandito, how you doing today, man?
Oh, I'm doing quite good, senor. How are you doing?
Oh man, I'm doing awesome.
Oh yeah, did you have a good week?
Oh man, you know it, man. It was an action-packed week of all epic proportions.
I know, I definitely had a good time. I went up to the Treasure Coast Comic Con right here in Port St. Lucie.
Oh, awesome, man. I remember we talked about that last time. How did that go?
Ooh, it was actually quite nice. The turnout was a little lower than I think expected, but all of the vendors and peoples that were there seemed to have a great time. We all had a lot of fun meeting each other and talking about all sorts of different things. Of course, I was there with our good friend and sponsor, Captain Joel from Big Dog Comics.
Awesome, man. We love Captain Joel, Big Dog Comics, Thunderdome Gaming. Check him out.
Yeah, he was out there making some pretty killer deals and brought some pretty amazing books and things for people to see. I was quite impressed because, you know, he has such a big collection. His slogan for the store is, you know, we may not have everything, but we come close. You know,
that's so true, man. That's so true. What were some of the books that he brought out?
Well, you know, I was pretty impressed when he said, oh, look, I have the first appearance of the black costume of Spider-Man and, Secret Wars number 8. And he's like, and
pretty classic.
The Amazing Spider-Man number 252, where he wears it in The Amazing Spider-Man for the first time.
Okay.
But then he's like, oh, well, check this out. I have The Amazing Spider-Man number 9, the first appearance of Electro.
No way, from the 1960s?
Yeah, and if that wasn't enough, not only did he have a medley of other books there, probably 50-plus books that were all from the same era, but he also showed me a book that was Sergeant Fury and the Howling Commandos, guest starring Captain America.
No way, man. So that's probably dating the 1940s?
Yeah, the 40s, maybe the 50s. I mean, I didn't even want to touch it because it looked so pristine and awesome in the condition that it was, but that was pre-Avengers, before he went in the ice, you know, while he was still fighting in World War II. So, yeah, it's probably a 1940s book, kept all this time. So it's pretty amazing.
Absolutely, man. It sounds really cool. So tell us a little bit more about the con itself. Like, they had some special guests there, correct?
They did. Well, the con had expanded quite a bit from last year. So, you know, I was surprised that more people didn't show up, but they did. Okay. They were using the entire Civic Center here in Port St. Lucie.
Good.
So it's really huge. They had a big vendor floor in the gymnasium, and they had several panels in the, like, Ruby ballrooms, and then the Emerald ballroom was completely opened up where they were doing live game demos for, like, Dungeons & Dragons and Pathfinder, and some vendors that showed up were actually selling games there that they had created themselves.
Oh, that's great, man. You know, we love the games here on the Power Hour.
Yeah, you know, El Bandito is an expert at playing games, especially with the women, so.
But we're not talking about games of people's hearts, man. We're talking about games with the boards and the cards and all that fun stuff.
Hey, every game, there's a winner, there's a loser, and someone's heart is getting broken.
Now, this is true.
But as far as the special guests go, they had two very special guests that meant a lot to El Bandito. They had Marina Sirtis from Star Trek The Next Generation.
Oh, yes, man. Back in the day, man, she was quite a hottie.
Oh, yeah, and she hasn't lost a step. You know, she's still looking good. And, you know, for those of you who don't know, that's Miss Deanna Troi. From Star Trek The Next Generation and from the Next Generation films. And she did several appearances as Deanna Troi in the other shows as well. I know she was in the Enterprise show, but I don't want to talk about that show.
Really? She was in that one? That was like the prequel one, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I believe at the end of the show, they do kind of a finale that it was really a holodeck program that Commander Riker was just playing the whole time.
Really?
Yeah, like Deanna Troi comes in and is like, this is stupid, Will. Why are you doing this? And we're like, that's how we felt about the whole show.
Wow, I never knew. Is that real?
Yeah, that's totally true. Yeah.
No way. Oh, wow. Okay, well, I definitely learned something there. Oh, good. So that's cool. So who else was there besides, Commander Troi?
They also had the incredible Billy West.
Oh, Billy West. Definitely a big fan of his with all of his voice work and such.
The voice artist behind Doug, behind Ren and Stimpy, behind pretty much everyone on Futurama. He does Fry, Dr. Zoidberg, Dr. Farnsworth. He does the voice of Nixon on the show. He does the voice of Zap Brannigan. So he's just a super talented artist. He's super nice. I mean, he would stop in the hallways and do voices for people. I mean, I wouldn't suggest badgering him to do voices in the hallways, but he was just generous enough to offer that up to people. And we were all very impressed with his kindness and how much fun he was.
Well, that sounds like it was a real blast, El Bandito.
It really did. And I ended up talking to so many people that I kind of have a bit of a sore throat tonight. So I hope everyone can bear with me. And I hope all the ladies love the sexual tones coming from El Banditos tonight.
Well, definitely, man. Well, let me tell you a little bit about my week.
Oh, yes. Tell me what you have done, Senor.
Well, I got to catch the Evil Dead 35th anniversary showing by Morbid Movies, down at the movies at Lake Worth.
Ooh, that's right. I remember you were sending me messages about that, and I was at the con. I was just like, oh, my heart is torn between two beautiful passions because, you know, I was such a big fan when we went to see Evil Dead 2 down there with Morbid Movies.
Oh,
and, you know, getting to see the original on the anniversary would have been such a special treat, but, you know.
Well, I got to tell you, man, it was a really good turnout. You know, lots of, you know, Evil Dead heads came out, and they were people wearing all kinds of cool T-shirts. I saw a Reanimator T-shirt and, of course, a bunch of Evil Dead and Army of Darkness tees. And I got to talk to Mike from Morbid Movies. And, you know, Justin McPatches and I did a quick interview with him, which I'm sure will be available on Podbean under McPatches Media. And definitely, you know, it was just really cool to get some of the inner workings, you know, what goes on with Morbid Movies and how they go about getting the rights and stuff to get their films. But also, besides that, just talking about Evil Dead and, you know, the legacy.
Yeah.
And that this was really completing the horror triangle for them. You know, like I said, mm-hmm. They did Evil Dead 2, then they did Army of Darkness, and then they finished it up with the original Evil Dead.
Yeah, so pretty much the ultimate cult trilogy.
You know it, man. He even said he would love to do like a night where they got to play all three of them.
Oh,
but
yeah.
That might be a rights nightmare due to, like, you know, all the different studios and stuff like mm-hmm. that own each piece. Definitely, like I said, the turnout was great. They did their raffle. They had the buttons, you know, for the movie. And just getting to see that one on the big screen, that was a real treat. You know, the moments that go through that movie are just like just as good as the first time you saw it. Like, you know, you see that pencil go on the lady's leg and stuff. You're just like, oh, you still cringe. And, you know, that crowd there is so cool because, mm-hmm. you know, mostly everybody that's in there has already seen the movie.
Sure.
So
it becomes a lively crowd where they really laugh out loud. They interact, they gasp and awe at things. And it becomes more of an event.
Exactly. Like when Ash is like talking to his girlfriend, he's like, you know, oh, hey, how about, you know, me and you get a little, you know.
Because
like,
the last time I checked, you were a man and I'm a woman. Wait, that was backwards, but you know what I meant.
That's pretty funny. You know, it is Evil Dead. You never know. But like I said, it was a really good turnout. And, you know, I think everyone left very happy getting to see that one. Also that weekend, I did get to go check out that new Blair Witch movie that came out.
Oh, the new, now that's a sequel. So we shouldn't say it's a new, we don't want people to think it's a reboot. But.
Yeah, it's a sequel. And I got to tell you, man, what is really cool about the movie, their marketing campaign, at first it was just called In the Woods.
Okay.
And until it was revealed at San Diego Comic-Con that it was a sequel to the Blair Witch, I thought that was really intriguing. You know, I was like, oh, this is going to be cool because they kept it so secretive.
Yeah, that's such a hard thing to do, you know, in the internet age, you know, how everyone wants to know everything about a movie before they go and spend $900 at the theater on it. So
absolutely, man, absolutely. And, you know, and it's like, you know, I was like, well, it's been 17 years since the original. I guess they made like a sequel at some point in the 2000s, but it was almost like a directed DVD. They pretty much just pretend like that didn't exist.
Okay.
But without giving away any spoilers, I gotta say I wasn't super impressed.
No?
Yeah, it should have been a remake because it pretty much, you know.
So someone was making a movie called In the Woods and the Blair Witch people were like, hey, that's just like our old movie. We're going to sue you. And they were like, well, you can just have it. And they said, okay. And they put the Blair Witch name on it.
Possibly so, man. Unfortunately, we didn't get any opinions.
Oh, you don't? Here, hold on. I think I may have an opinion from someone who saw the original Blair Witch movie, and this may fit perfectly.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay, they're in the woods. The camera keeps on moving. I think they're looking for some witch or something. I don't know. I wasn't listening. Nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. Something about a map. Nothing's happening. It's over. A lot of people in the audience look pissed.
That's absolutely perfect.
That kind of on point there?
Pretty much, man. I mean, you know, there might be a lot of people that go to see this, like the younger generation that mm-hmm. maybe never saw the original or, you know, and they might really dig it. But I think the ending of that is more of that clip is more what we were thinking. Like everyone left just really pissed off.
Now, I know one of the big pushes for the new movie was that you would get to finally see the Blair Witch creature. So would you say it lived up to that claim? Without any spoilers, would you say it lived up to that claim?
I would say it does live up to at least getting more than what we got in the first film. Okay. But just not, you know,
like
not
the barest minimum. Yeah, fulfilling
yeah.
that.
Yeah, and it's more the more questions than answers kind of thing. So yeah, people just have to go check it out, and if they want, but definitely not high on my recommendation list. you know, there might be some super fans out there that will enjoy.
Sure, definitely go and see it, and you know, jump on the Power Hour of Love Facebook or hit us up on powerhourofloveatgmail.com and let us know what you thought of the movie and what movie you'd like for us to you know, check out.
All right, man. Well, I think that brings us to our first musical break. Here we have Kegosaurus Rex with Buckhead Ridge.
Got my pants.
And that was Kegasaurus Rex with Buckhead Ridge.
Yeah, old Bandito, what did you think of that one?
Oh, that's a pretty rocking song, man. You know, I really like these Kegasaurus Rex guys. I remember we saw them the first time with their Viking helmets and things like that. And
oh, yeah, man. Just seeing them, like, on the internet, it's like, gotta check these guys out.
Absolutely. And like I said, I just love their logo. It's like a dinosaur just kicking a keg in half, and he's wearing like a policeman's hat or something. I don't know. It's it's one of those things that's a medley of awesome that you look at and you're just like, I don't think I completely understand what this means, but I love every part of it.
Well, I was lucky enough to get to see Kegasaurus Rex live a few weeks ago at the ER Bradley show, and got to catch up with them and do an interview, which we're going to play later on in our third segment. But while talking to them, you know, they had said that a lot of times they'll show up for an event in their Viking outfits and they'll just walk around before the event and that will naturally get them like, you know, interest, like from just, you know, foot traffic.
Sure.
And I'm just like, wow, that is like so cool. Like, it makes me think back to like seeing videos of like Gwar in like the like mid 80s where like they'd be walking around Richmond in their costumes, like even in like the snow and getting into like snowball fights and stuff. And people would just like, it would get news.
Absolutely. You know?
So
yeah.
It's like,
they're like, we're being invaded by aliens and having a snowball fight downtown.
Absolutely, man. So yeah, from a publicity standpoint, that is amazing.
Totally.
Unfortunately, the night of ER Bradley's, there was a bit of a rainstorm that rolled in, so they weren't able to, but even just them hanging around ER Bradley's and people seeing the guys in the Viking, you know, people were coming up to them, talking to them, like what a way to get the word out there. And they're just really cool dudes. Like one of the guy has like light up stuff in his horns and stuff. and yeah, they gave, you know, me and Justin like CDs, and I actually got a Kegasaurus Rex hat. So.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, no, it's always nice when people can be personable with their fans, spend that extra bit of time with them, and definitely go the extra mile to kind of dress up and have fun.
And also, you know, they come out and they support other, you know, musical events. You know, they came to Green Jello and stuff like that. So yeah, these guys are real stand-up dudes. You know, I hope to see them more on the Treasure Coast as well, you know, you know, getting out of Palm Beach. But yeah, definitely. Like I said, we'll hear an interview with them a little later on tonight.
Awesome. Can't wait.
So, you know, going, you know, as we were talking about all the stuff that's been going on, man, it's time to reach out a little bit out there and get a little more into the news of the world that's going on there. Podunk News.
Podunk News.
Ooh, okay. Well, let's see what's going on in the world of Podunk today.
Oh, man. Well, going on out there, you know, let's hit up with a little bit of punk rock news that's going on. We got Guttermouth, Agent Orange, and The Queers, all classic punk rock groups. They're going to be teaming together in early 2017 and touring around the U.S.
Oh, kind of like a super group, but like a super team of groups.
Yeah, super team. Yeah, you'll have an individual performance by each one of those groups.
Nice.
You know, we've seen, you know, Agent Orange has made their rounds. Guttermouth made their rounds earlier this year. You know, but now you're getting to see all these guys with the addition of The Queers, which, like I said, they are, you know, this is just a classic punk rock, you know, combo. So I know people are going to be really excited. They're hitting a bunch of dates in Florida in February. I'm sure when that gets a little closer, we'll have the specific dates and stuff. But
absolutely,
definitely something not to be missed for any of the punk rock fans, which we know Podunk Radio has a lot of them. So definitely, you know, guys, keep your ears open, not just in Florida. You know, they're going to be going all over the place. But yeah, definitely something not to be missed.
Yeah, so we're letting you know now, every night that you go out, you say, okay, I have one less beer. I take those $3 and that goes in the account to go and see the show in February.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, I'm not sure what the prices are, any of that details, but yeah, you know, to see those classic three punk rock individual bands is probably going to be worth whatever the cost is, you know, like, so very, very, you know, it's going to be an experience. So aside from that, other information on just touring bands and stuff, I heard a really cool information the other day where Body Count, which is a metal band that's led by Ice-T, you know, famous rapper, famously known for their song Cop Killer, which came out in the early 90s, actually was, you know, Ice-T had said that when the president of the United States speaks your band's name in vain, you know, that's when shit really has hit the fan. So, you know, known for that classic, you know, notorious famous song, mm-hmm. Cop Killer. But
that's infamous.
Infamous. There you go. Yes. Yes. They're, you know, but also where they've come more into the punk rock light lately is last year they did a cover of the Suicidal Tendencies song, Institutionalized.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
You remember that one?
Yeah, that was a lot of fun where he's arguing with his wife and stuff because he just wants to play video games.
Absolutely. And the guy's messing with him about like his food and like the path. Oh,
Isn't it like a Capri Sun? He's like giving him shit over a Capri Sun.
Absolutely, man. Well, Body Count is going to be touring with the classic thrash metal group Megadeth. So
nice.
I know a lot of the metalheads are going to be excited for when Megadeth's coming around. But personally, like, I've never seen Body Count. I might have to check out this show when it hits Florida. You know, it's
oh, absolutely. Too cool. That sounds awesome. And you know, I'm gonna go ahead and make a note on the computer here to send word down to security officer Will and make sure that he, you know, Chucky Bucks is gonna be storming the building any second now that he heard us talk about Megadeth.
Oh, I know.
And want to go on a rant and tell us for 45 minutes how they're the greatest band alive. So.
You know, and I got to be honest, I mean, back in the day, you know, I was a fan of Megadeth.
Sure.
But, you know, they haven't really made a good album since 1995. I mean, you know, it's just, I don't know. I mean, I know there's a lot of thrash metal fans out there and stuff that really do enjoy. And I mean, and Megadeth will always be part of the big four, which
it's
is
iconic. Yeah.
Yeah. Metallica, you know? Anthrax, Megadeth and Slayer. You know, those you know, yeah, those are definitely, you know, the big four thrash metal bands mm-hmm. of legend, you know. So
yeah,
you know,
and let's see, which ones have we seen? We saw Slayer and Anthrax at the Rockville.
Absolutely. And they rocked, you know, and Metallica I have not seen live. But one thing I will say, I know I've heard that when Megadeth does play live, they play a lot of their classics. Mm-hmm. So, you know, seeing them live versus what you get in an album.
Oh, and don't worry, I got a bunch of Metallica stuff I got off Napster, so that's fine.
Awesome. Well, also just recently, Grammy winning band Ghost released a new video called Square Hammer this week it's a very 1920s inspired video, which is right in time here for Halloween.
Cool.
Maybe we should check it out real quick.
Ready to check it out?
Yeah, let's give people our opinion of this one.
All right, let's check it out.
Can you hold on a second? I have Carl waiting.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and jump back now because I didn't realize we can't actually play that on the air here. So.
Yeah, if anybody wants to check that out, of course, you can all go check it out on YouTube.
Absolutely. You know, we'll probably throw a link up to it on the Facebook page or just say that we will and make you all go there anyways. But no, definitely go check that out. That was an awesome video.
When I saw it, I was like, this is definitely good for this time of year.
Yeah.
Those guys always wear that face paint and those masks and stuff, and they're definitely rising up the ranks and the new metal scene and stuff. I know a lot of the younger folks are really digging them. It is kind of funny how much their image is like a mockery, though, of like the Roman Catholic Church. And I know that gets them a lot of heat.
Well,
of course,
sure. But let's say all that aside and you watch this movie. And me, you know, having not seen them performing, you know, like we've heard the music before, but
absolutely,
I haven't seen them. Mm-hmm. And then we're watching this video. This is my first video they're seeing. And I'm kind of watching it starts off and you're like, what? This almost seems like someone's drawing on top of live actions. It's like really bizarre at first, but as it goes on, it starts unfolding the story, mm-hmm. and you see the influences from like Last Action Hero. Mm-hmm. It's kind of Batman Returns-y.
Yes.
It has a lot of really cool themes in it. A little Dick Tracy.
Salem's Lot at the end, like the big, like, you know, that was, it was definitely a video that I was like, I definitely want to bring this to the Power Hours audience and see what plus the 1920s, mm-hmm. you know, Cthulhu Lovecraftian kind of feel to it.
Sure.
You know? So yeah,
I think of it like the Dick Tracy old Gotham feel, you know? So it's,
absolutely.
But yeah, cool video. So yeah, hopefully we'll put a link to that up for all you guys. If not, just, you know, YouTube Ghost and skip past the Swayze stuff.
Well, you know, El Bandito, there's one more quick video I want you to check out that's also going through the music world right here.
Oh, okay. What have you got?
Here we go. We have Corey Feldman's performance on the Today Show.
Oh, we can't play that one either? Oh, okay. Well, let's just, we went ahead and watched it, so we'll tell you guys about it.
Yeah, that was the, if you haven't seen it yet, I'd be surprised, but that's the Corey Feldman's Go For It performance on the Today Show. What'd you think of that one, El Bandito?
That was pretty wild, to say the least. I have to say, like, musically, it wasn't terrible. I mean, it wasn't the greatest thing in the universe, but
I agree, you know, like, music wise, it's kind of like, oh, kind of digging it. But yeah, like, just the performance, him dancing around.
Yeah. I would expect that for maybe Macaulay Culkin to be like trying to take up the mantle now. But it was almost like Corey Feldman's like, I want to absolutely pay tribute to Michael Jackson, but not practice any of his moves. And just kind of do, like, if I were just to try to dance like Michael Jackson in the mirror in the bathroom, that's what I look like.
Absolutely. Well, El Bandito, right now, those are the two most trending videos in music. You know, you got Corey Feldman and you have Ghost.
I have to say, I think the most interesting thing about the Corey Feldman performance, because, you know, I'm watching it, I'm like, you know, there are all these beautiful women's here. Sure. And I was like, that brunette is really cute too, although she's kind of flat-chested. And then you were like, no, that's Corey Feldman. I said, okay. But, you know, all the angel ladies were great. And then that black guy comes out who is dressed like Super Mario when he gets a flower pellet. I was like, that's really cool. Who is that guy? So yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, that's Dr. Ace. He's an old school hip-hop artist.
He should be Dr. Fire with that outfit. That was great. I like that.
I think that's been most of the internet's question. It's like, who is that guy? Like, only a handful of people know. But yeah, absolutely, man. Like you said, just definitely two different videos.
Yeah,
you know,
that's both ends of the musical spectrum, I think, right there. And we've just had everyone in the audience. So let's say we go ahead and make this segment a ghost.
Awesome. Well, here we got a track here by Cocoa Beach, Florida's own Geezer, a cover of Katy Perry's I Kissed a Girl.
This never was the way I planned. Not my intention. I got so brave, warm milk in hand. Lost my discretion. It's not what I'm used to. I just had to try you on. I'm curious for you. You caught my attention. I kissed a girl and she liked it. The taste of my Maalox chapstick. I kissed a girl just to try it. Hope my late wife don't mind it. It felt so wrong, it felt so right. She felt so in love tonight. I kissed a girl and she liked it. Hey, 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 she liked it, yeah. No, I don't even know your name. Doesn't matter. You're my experimental game. Just human nature. It's not what old dudes do. It's not how it should be. Hey, my head gets so confused. It's hard to obey, yeah. I kissed a girl and she liked it. The taste of my Maalox chapstick. I kissed a girl just to try it. Hope my late wife don't mind it. It felt so wrong, it felt so right. She felt so in love tonight. I kissed a girl and she liked it. Hey, 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 she liked it.
Black girls, they are so magical. Soft skin, red lips, so kissable. Hard to resist, so touchable.
Too good to deny it. I kissed a girl and she liked it. The taste of my Maalox chapstick. I kissed a girl just to try it. Hope my late wife don't mind it. I kissed a girl and she liked it. The taste of my Maalox chapstick. I kissed a girl just to try it. Hope my late wife don't mind it. It felt so wrong, it felt so right. She felt so in love tonight. I kissed a girl and she liked it. Hey, 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 she liked it.
And that was the sensual tones of Geezer with I Kissed a Girl.
Absolutely, El Bandito. I got to say, like, I think I like that version of that song a lot more than the original.
Oh, absolutely, man. That was a lot more fun. I mean, personally, when, you know, I think of old men doing a cover of I Kissed a Girl, I think of it being more like, she told me she was 18. But their version was absolutely hilarious. And seeing Geezer, those bunch of old guys rocking it out there and making light of it. And anytime someone cannot take themselves too seriously, that's always good. I mean, certainly we don't take ourselves too seriously.
Oh, you know it, El Bandito. Yeah, Geezer's great. Like we said earlier, out of Cocoa Beach, I know they do a lot of live shows. Hopefully we'll get them further down south here in Florida, mm-hmm. get them around, you know, and definitely, like you said, they're always a real trip to listen to and see live and interact with.
Now, you said you saw one of the guys from that join another band and play?
Well, yeah, they were doing a Ramones tribute, mm-hmm. and one of the members was there, and they kind of did almost like a super group, you know, of all the bands that were there that night. A member of each band kind of got together and they created this, like, you know, opening group, mm-hmm. you know. And yeah, it was just a lot of fun. Everyone was cheering for him, and he's just like, get out of here, you know, just being all old and crotchety and stuff. But it was a really good time, and I haven't had a chance yet to see Geezer themselves perform, but I've heard a lot of good stuff about it.
Sure, we'll have to get out and see them. You know, I'm sure it's a blast to watch these old guys, you know, get up there and rock it and not have a heart attack. And you know, hey, the fact that they're hip to what a new song is and are able to parody it, you know,
it's all good times. And definitely, if anybody's interested, go out there and check out Ghoul Tones. They're a record label that Geezer signed to, based also out of Cocoa Beach.
Yeah, go check them out. I mean, if that's what they're carrying, I'm sure they got a lot of great stuff there.
Good stuff. Well, El Bandito, it's time for the video game zone.
Uh-oh.
Video game zone.
Man, you know, earlier, you know, we were checking out some of those videos and stuff. I want to get your opinion, El Bandito. What do you think of this new Resident Evil 7 trailer that came out recently?
Well, you know, to me, it's like people get excited about the weirdest things sometimes, because, you know, we watch that video and all I can think is, you know, okay, apparently you have to, you know, get served some food that Walter White's daughter made. And if you don't like it, he's going to be really mad at you and stab you in the throat. And I guess that's the rest of the game. But I didn't see any quick time button mashing instructions for how to just eat the fucking thing and move on with the game, because that guy seemed pissed. He just stabbed that other guy in the hand who seemed like his friend, you know, and you're like, what the hell's going on? No, honestly, I watched the trailer. I don't understand what's going on. Are we fighting those people? Are we going to be a zombie? I don't know.
Well, that's it definitely is shrouded in mystery, you know, like it. But one thing I have to say I'm excited about is the first person view instead of like the clunky over the shoulder, you know, thing that's always.
Yeah. Okay, I guess that's debatable because, you know, what is it? Fallout has a third person view that you used to have to use.
Sure.
They switched to first person. I think a lot of people liked it better.
Sure.
But
sure.
Other games like GTA, they use their third person over the shoulder. Mm-hmm. And it still works fine. There's nothing wrong with it. So.
Oh, sure, sure. And I have to say, I know, like, the previous title in this series, like, was universally panned. You
really?
Know, I mean, I'm sure it has its fans out there, but, like, they pretty much tried to put every different type of gameplay that they've ever had in those games into one game. But, like, you know, so they thought they were giving everybody what they wanted, but in the end it was like...
They gave no one anything they wanted.
Exactly, yeah. So I think they're really kind of
It's kind of like the Phantom Menace.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and, that's... I think they're trying something brand new,
mm-hmm.
but from what they say, it is going to tie back in with the other games. So there has to be some sort of a crux that, you know...
Yeah, it seemed a little maybe tied into 4. You remember 4 had that outbreak thing?
Yeah, yeah.
They weren't really zombies. But
sure,
they were some disease people or something. And they had that little short Napoleon guy.
Yeah.
He was cute.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's, I kind of like this, like, almost like Texas Chainsaw Massacre kind of style.
Sure.
You know, thing where it's like this family and stuff.
Yeah.
And so I think versus like having like a, you know, massive amounts of enemies, if it's like, if it is centered on these like individuals that you're taking on, it can get more personal and scary, you know? So
yeah, definitely more twisted.
Yeah. And it, you know, once again, nobody really knows what's going on there, but
sure.
Just to me, I kind of got excited about it. I was like, oh dude, this is just, it's really weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's really out there. And it's like, it's something that I'm like, dude, if I'm playing this, like I'm probably going to fucking freak out. Like, you know,
Yeah, well, I can tell you, I didn't play the last installment. I have it. I bought it. I never sat down to play it. I mean, you play 400 hours of Skyrim, and you wonder why you don't play five games that you have. But, you know, the thing that I like about it is that Resident Evil has always personified the horror genre in gaming to me.
Sure.
Because their jump scares were the best. They were the first ones I ever played in consoles.
Oh, yeah.
Where, I mean, I'll never forget opening the front door of the mansion in the first game and having that fucking dog jump at you and just scare the piss out of you when you're playing at 1:30 in the
classic.
Morning.
That was classic.
And just all the door openings, the slow creepiness. I mean, that defined horror gaming for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost sad to see that they've gotten, you know, they kind of lost their way a little bit for a while. And personally, between 4 through 6, it was nothing really exciting going on.
Sure, sure.
But yeah, this definitely looks like a new direction, and I can tell you right away from that trailer that if I was being 100% honest, that guy bashing through the wall scared the shit out of me. You know, like I jumped here next to Senior Boyle. I know he was laughing at me. And then, you know, the whole idea of being with some bizarre, almost rednecky family that's going to mistreat you just gives me chills in a completely different way than I've ever gotten from a Resident Evil game.
Yes.
But the fact that they still found a new way to do it, I think, is great on them. So
absolutely, man.
I'm excited to see where it goes.
And from what the director has said so far, mm-hmm. was that, you know, they're going to try to bring it back to that, like, core original game of, like, survival horror.
Cool.
And what he had said, I guess this is going to be one of the first games that's more VR emulated, where, you know, when they release their VR, whatever the hell those things
are.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
You know, that this is going to be, it's one of the titles that they're really trying to push. And the guy said, man, that stuff looks scary enough as it is, like just playing it on your TV. Like if you're like immersed in the world, like what if people get too scared? And the guy was like, well, they could still close their eyes.
Yeah, like, well, I know we're going to get a rash of YouTube videos of someone dressed as zombie Walter White there standing in front of the guy with his Oculus. So when he takes it off, the guy fucking freaks out.
Hell,
you know?
Yeah, man. That's awesome. But aside from Resident Evil, you know, just recently they had the, you know, the Nuka World edition added to Fallout.
Yes, the
4.
New DLC, yes.
Yes, and I have played through it, and I know you haven't gotten to that point yet, mm-hmm. so I won't, no spoilers here, but one thing I just wanted to mention, and like, big thumbs up to Bethesda for doing this. This is brought to my attention by our good buddy Will out there on the West Coast. You know, he's always our video game correspondent that we like to check in with these things.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, apparently there was these two brothers that played Fallout 3 constantly, and one of the brothers had an illness, and but this is one of the things that they did together that, you know, brought them, you know, joy in, you know, these last few years or months that they got to be together. And, you know, I guess Bethesda got wind of this, and they actually put the brother who passed away's character into Nuka World.
Wow.
You know, and to kind of like completely, like, you know,
immortalize him. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, so I was like, wow, that, you know, good job, Bethesda. You know,
oh,
like,
absolutely,
big thumbs
man.
Up on that one. So just something I wanted to mention as far as that I recently learned about that. Once again, thank you to Will, our video game correspondent, for, you know, filling me in on that.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to give him a ring sometime and get him on the air to talk about some of the newest and most upcoming games. But I can say, but, you know, it doesn't surprise me in the least that Bethesda would do such outstanding customer service and be so kind to their patrons and things, because they have always been just a top-notch consumer place. It's almost like everything they put into designing Vault Tech has made them think like, boy, that's the worst company ever. Let's be the complete antithesis of that.
Wow, man.
For free.
Yeah, yeah. Those guys at Bethesda, good guy Bethesda. That's so cool, man. Yeah, I'm very, you know, very cool to have companies like that. I mean, maybe those guys that are working on, you know, No Man's Sky need to take some pointers from Bethesda as far as all that stuff goes. But
and it's not that hard to make a great video game. You let people do whatever they want, you know, and you get Liam Neeson to do a voice of someone, and that's it.
You're good to go.
It's not super hard.
Well, I think that brings us to our conclusion this week of the Video Game Zone.
Video Game Zone.
Okay, our next musical break is Emergency Pizza Party with Let Our Powers Combine.
Alright, we have Emergency Pizza Party, and we'd like to thank you for being so patient back in the end.
that was Emergency Pizza Party with Our Powers Combined. A nice tribute there to both Captain Planet and the late Michael Jackson.
Absolutely, El Bandito. And, you know, what's really cool about that, that was recorded at Nerdapalooza 2009, which happened right after Michael Jackson had passed away. Mm-hmm. And I know for a thing being that we were there, mm-hmm. that a lot of the bands and groups and businesses that were there paid tribute to the King of Pop.
Absolutely. I know MC Chris did later that night as well. Mm-hmm. He did a whole song and segment to him, wore a Michael Jackson t-shirt and stuff. And
absolutely.
So just in case anyone's wondering, if you can find any old footage of Nerdapalooza 2009, you can see a real tribute to Michael Jackson and not whatever the fuck Corey Feldman was doing earlier.
Hey, that's a good, yeah, good segue into that one.
But yeah, I remember that. I remember that show being amazing. That was such a great, Nerdapalooza was such a great show all the way around.
Yep.
And Emergency Pizza Party, you know, you also hear them referred to as EPP a lot.
Yep.
You know, they're fantastic, man. They come up with the wildest, like, funniest stuff.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like almost like a sketch comedy, not to discredit any of their abilities, because they're all very awesome.
Yeah, they're amazingly talented, but they do their whole show as almost like a bit, where they're just, you know, they have the greatest topics, and, you know, they're having fun when they're on stage. And, you know, I have to say, I remember seeing that performance. I know Funky 49 was there.
Yes.
He's actually the one singing.
Core members, yep.
Yeah, he's the one singing as Captain Planet.
Yep, yep. You got that right, man. Funky 49. He was actually the first song ever played on the Power Hour of Love.
Yeah, our first guest interview too.
Absolutely.
So, because we had Chucky Bucks come in and play a game with us, but he's an idiot. He's not a guest.
But you know it, man. Yeah, it was a great show. It was really cool that where this is available. They just recently put out a greatest hits album that's called The Worst of EPP. It's available on Emergency Pizza Party's Bandcamp. Lots of cool tracks on there. Not sure if there's a lot more like live stuff, but when I saw that on there, I was like, oh man, this is definitely bringing it back. So wanted to share it here on the Power Hour.
Yeah. And thanks for bringing those memories back to me. I'll personally never forget that show because, you know, shortly after their set, I remember the girl who plays with them. What did you say her name was?
Fanatical.
Fanatical, yes. El Bandito is not so good with the women's names. But I remember that she had the short brown hair and like a little gold cape and little gold shorts. And she came and sat next to me for like 10 minutes. And I so wanted to say something, but I chickened out. So if you're out there and you're listening, oh, you're beautiful. So call me. Hit me up. It's powerhourofloveatgmail.com. You can hit me up on Facebook.
Well, moving on, El Bandito.
Yeah, talking about such great events, we want to see all of you people at the next local event. So we're going to go ahead and fill you in right now on where those are at and what you can expect from the South Florida area.
Here we go. First up on Friday, September 23rd, we have Alton and Joe Dyer's birthday sextravaganza.
Ooh.
At Oceanside Pub in Jensen Beach. This is a free show starting at 8 p.m. with music by Darukin, In Motion, Break the Hero, and The Return of Prescription Death. You know, Mr. Joe Dyer, you know, it's another year gone, and, you know, it's time for celebrations, right?
It sounds like it's time for a sextravaganza, which I'm all about, and I'm kind of mad that you only told me about this now, because I know that's going to be tomorrow night, and
And you have nothing to wear?
Yes, I need times to prepare. I'm like a karate guy before he breaks the bricks. I have to prepare to have a sextravaganza.
You know it, man. Well, hey, you know, even if it takes you a little extra time, it sounds like they're going to be rocking well into the evening. So definitely make it on down to Oceanside. Yeah. Free show. Of course, 21 and up. Just for those wondering.
Yeah, it's a sextravaganza. We don't want to deal with checking ideas. You know, just be 21.
You know it, man. So what's next on the list?
Well, if if you could still walk the next day, on Saturday, September 24th, we have Naughty Kitty Productions presenting Janani, A Bridge of Thorns, The Virginia Rose Band, Embers Dawn, Mindset X, who are touring down here all the way from New England.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. And it's all taking place at the Bombshell Tavern in Orlando, and the show starts at 8 p.m. It's $10 per person, But it's $15 if you're a couple. Ooh.
Hey, I wonder if there's like, you know, is there a designation? Like, could somebody bring like their friend and be a couple? Or if it's more...
I think if two men show up together, they have to kiss to get $5 off. That would be my policy.
It's a cool...
And if they want to kiss each other, kiss me, whatever, it's fine.
It's a cool concept, though, to get definitely more folks on out to, sure. to the shows. You know, like you said, Mindset X is all the way down from New England.
Yeah.
Definitely, if anyone's up in the Orlando area, listen, you know, looking for some good rock, you know, definitely check this out. Next up after that, on Sunday, October 2nd, it's the Return to Your Roots tour at the Culture Room in Fort Lauderdale. This is featuring Max and Igor Calavera, formerly of Sepultura. Also performing that night is Cumbie Kreis, All Hail Yeti, and Ani. Doors open at 7 p.m. Tickets are $24.
Oh, man, that's a good price to see those heavy-hitting bands, though. That's pretty cool.
Absolutely. I've been to the Culture Room quite a few times. Definitely a cool venue as well. Lots of good drinks. They also have a upstairs balcony area.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if being down in that hard-hitting pit's too rough for you, you can go up there and enjoy a little cocktail while you watch, you know, these fucking heavy ass hitting bands. I mean, Sepultura, they're like the Metallica of Brazil. You know, I mean, like, these guys are freaking, yeah. But I mean, it is the former singer and drummer, you know, and they're going to be doing some really awesome stuff down there. Plus, Cumbie Kreis, which always puts on an awesome show.
Yeah, so get down there and get in the pit. I mean, that's what they're saying. They're saying, come, be with Christ, because we're going to stomp you to death in the pit. So get down there, be brave, have fun, and see some rocking bands, man. And that sounds like a hell of a sexy weekend, too. We have a sex extravaganza, a Naughty Kitty production, and then return to your roots to kind of center yourself like a week later. You know, go see Cumbie Kreis and repent your sins, you perverts.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, definitely a lot of cool events going on. You know, I'm sure as we roll into October, a lot of spooky events coming. But, you know, here we're going to travel back in time a little bit to a few weeks ago when we were at the E.R. Bradley show, and we're going to go on with our Kegasaurus Rex interview.
Hey, this is Charbol from El Bandito and Charbol's Power Hour of Love, and here we are down in West Palm Beach on Clematis at E.R. Bradley's here, and we're here at the Stoked Florida Shows, a big benefit for autism. And we're having a great time. And with us here, we have Kegasaurus Rex.
Yeah, Kegasaurus Rex in the house.
How's it going tonight, guys?
It's going great. Thanks for having us play here tonight. It was such a blast. We love this place. It's such a beautiful venue. And downtown West Palm Beach, who could ask for better?
Yeah, it's been pretty nice, you know. A little stairs to the stage would have been cool, you know, wearing a kilt, you know, kind of getting up there. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, this is my first time here, too, and I'm really digging it. I like the whole atmosphere, the couple of bars, the inside, outside, right here on Clematis. Plus, you get a lot of walk-in traffic, people coming just to check it out. Now, let's hear a little bit about Kegasaurus Rex. When did you guys first get together?
Well, we started this band in 1997, but we only lasted about a year back then. You know, Brian quit, Kurt got married, you know that song. But anyway, we got back together a few years ago. We made a CD. It's a 13-song original, an hour long. You can find it at KegasaurusRex.com. It's on iTunes, CD Baby. You can find us on Facebook, YouTube. So get out there and get your rock on and with Kegasaurus Rex, because you won't be disappointed in this music, because it kicks. And we want to thank Charlie for having us out here in Stokes Show and Bradley's, E.R. Bradley's, downtown West Palm Beach on a Saturday night for having us, Kegasaurus Rex, play. We love it. Woo! Yeah!
What can we look at for next for Kegasaurus Rex? You guys have any upcoming shows?
Yeah, we're working on putting together a 40 songs set so we can get out and play a few bars.
40 cover songs to go along with our originals. 40 cover songs to go along with our originals.
And Mick's going to do a lot of the singing, I hope, right, Mick?
Mick, our new singer. We want to introduce Mick Singer.
How you doing? Nick, is that, or Mick? Mick, awesome. How you doing tonight, Mick?
Very good. Very good. Thanks.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, you guys did a great job. Yeah, we love the outfits. We love the stage show. You know, and it's a lot of fun. We dug the covers, you know, and definitely, like you said, people can check out the music online and see you guys in a couple, you know, maybe a couple months down the road, maybe doing some.
Check us out online on Facebook and hit us up. And what we'll do is we'll let you know. We'll keep you posted. No. We'll keep you posted there to see the next shows are coming up. Well, you know, you only get to do live radio. I mean, you only spill a beer on live radio.
Absolutely.
That we can do a like a Sunfest event or something like that would be great. And Kegasaurus Rex had to put on a show would be nice. And hopefully do something like that in the future. And some more of these restaurants down here. But the rain today kind of put a damper on it for us. We were going to walk the avenue and hand out flyers for the event. We had 100 flyers made up, and we were all ready to go. We're in our kilt and our garb, our Viking garb. And Bluetooth, it's like, man, this just sucks. The weather comes in. Kegasaurus Rex is getting ready to go on stage here in about an hour, and we wanted to get some more people here. But the crowd's starting to pick up now, and it's going to be really nice. And Pat did a great job with the sound, and it's been a lot of fun. So,
absolutely, yeah, definitely. I can see what you're saying when you guys, like, before a show and stuff, kind of walking around. People, I mean, if I was just hanging out and I saw you guys walking down the street, I'd be like, I got to go see what that's all about, man. So this is very cool, man. And like you said, unfortunately, it's South Florida. The weather, you just never can predict it around here. But, hey, we were here early. You guys definitely had a good group of people in there rocking, you know. And, yeah, definitely, you guys sounded great. So, you guys got anything else you'd like to tell the people out there, Podunk Radio?
Just thank you very much. We're having fun, rocking out, and we look forward to big, great new things coming from Kegasaurus Rex.
Yeah.
Check us out at kegasaurusrex.com, WRECKS, and we'll have up-and-coming events, and look for us on Facebook and Reverb Nation, and it's been really good. We really had a good time tonight, and it was really nice for y'all to invite us.
All right, thanks again, guys. You guys are great for having us, man. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, guys, and everyone, check out Kegasaurus Rex. All right, this is Podunk Radio signing off.
All right, well, that was our interview with Kegasaurus Rex down at ER Bradley's.
Yeah, those sound like some fun guys.
Oh, man, it was a really good time. And like they said, you know, they're putting together some more material. And they're going to be, heading out to rock some more places real soon.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. And I like the way he spelled out the website, because I know we didn't mention it earlier, but it's Kegasaurus, like a keg of beer, K-E-G. Mm-hmm. And then Rex is with a W, W-R-E-C-K-S. And that's why it's like a dinosaur and he's wrecking a keg of beer, because the dinosaur is wrecking it. So he's the Kegasaurus and he wrecks shit. So.
Exactly, man. And yeah, like I said, they're a great bunch of guys. Good show. And definitely look forward to seeing some more in the future. All right, man. Well, we got our final musical break here. This is by Simon Calls Peter, and this is called Getting Old.
Well, I'm born as little bumps. Now my freaking back hurts. Still play like I'm 23. Then I can't walk for a week. It's hell getting old. In my mind, I haven't aged much, but my body has other thoughts. Always got to stop the pee. Pass the Jericho. I need a walker so I don't fall. Help me to the door, son. All you youngins can laugh at me, but just wait, you'll see. One thing you can't stop is time. It always catches up. It's hell getting old. Gonna have as much fun as I can. Popping pills to kill the pain. Live fast, die young with a joke. I need a walker so I don't fall. I can't bend over to pull my depends up. It's hell getting old. We're all young once, not giving life much thought. Could care less about my future for me, but it all goes by so fast. It's hell getting old. But I keep getting my thrill with all the choice of bone appeals. It's like putting a new flagpole on a condemned building. Jericho. I need a walker so I don't fall. Help me off the toilet, son. Oh, fuck, it's hell getting old.
And that was Simon Called Peter with Getting Old.
What'd you think of that one, El Bandito?
That was a riot, man.
Absolutely. I met Riv down at the Green Jello show, and he gave me his CD.
Nice.
And then I saw him at the ER Bradley show once again. You mentioned ER. And, I listened to the whole CD, and apparently Riv was in a punk band back in the early 80s, mm-hmm. and then he got out of it. And, you know, for the longest time, he hasn't been in a band. And, he, you know, over just those, like, 30 years, these songs have just been building up in his head. So finally he had the opportunity to record them, so he put them to track.
That's awesome. You know, it's like we all kind of think that in our heads, you know, when we see, even like when the Rolling Stones started getting older, yeah. you know, and then Aerosmith starts getting older, and now here all the punk rockers are getting older, and you think yeah. eventually they're going to write songs about, like, you know, just my back hurts, my feet hurt, everything sucks. Why'd I do so much drugs, you know?
Absolutely, man. But yeah, you can check out Simon Called Peter on Facebook at Simon Called Peter, and, you know, you can pick up a copy of their CD through there. I believe they also have some shirts for sale. So yeah, be sure to check them out. They've got a lot of good tracks on that CD.
That's awesome. And while you're on Facebook, don't forget to check out the Power Hour of Love or the Secret Identity Commentary.
Yep.
Which will be coming out with a new episode fairly soon.
Absolutely. Masters of the Universe, I have the power.
And go ahead and hit us up with an email if you have any love questions or any interesting topics about video games, movies, pop culture, or any other thing that you want to geek out about, and shoot us an email. Hit us up at powerhouroflove@gmail.com. Otherwise, I think we should all take Simon Calls Peter's advice and go ahead and live while we're young. So let's wrap this up and get out there and do some living.
You got it, El Bandito. Catch you guys next time. Yeah.
Things were going so great, but what happened? Something must have happened.
It's not you. It's me.
Listen. I was thinking we should break up or whatever.
I am breaking up with you.
Consider that a divorce.